my friends on TalkSport and Talk Time to celebrate his superb cinematic guilty pleasure. Released back in 1981, Escape to Victory was inspired by a truly horrific football death match played between Nazi soldiers and their Soviet Ukrainian POWs. Although the Sir Michael Caine and Sly Stallone cult classic tells a very different, and actually in the end, spoiler alert, far jollier story.
In 1942, the Nazis thought they were sitting on top of the world, never suspecting that they could be toppled in one conflict, the most unusual battle of the war.
It has been decided that a German national team will play a combined team from the prisoners of war of the occupied territories.
That's crazy.
Okay, I'm ready to sign up.
Sign up, eh?
And you ought to be exhibited in Paris like performing fleas?
What about me?
Get out of here.
A stacked game. The Third Reich's finest against a ragged bunch of prisoners of war. The Germans thought they had it made.
They couldn't run about for 90 minutes. They'd be chucking their guts up.
Am I good? Or am I good?
What's your name?
You know my name.
What's your name?
I decided to join the team.
The American? No.
You use that bloody American style again here and you'll be barred.
Look, you're playing English, I play American.
Can you do it with your mouth shut?
Hey, the mouth and the hand work together. It's a team.
And of course, Michael Caine was later reunited with Sly Stallone in the dreadful remake of Get Carter. But what a lineup in this film. So Michael Caine and Sly Stallone, Pelé and Bobby Moore, Ozzy Ardiles and Mike Summerby. What's not to love? A bank holiday belter. And now the story of the making of that magnificent movie is brilliantly told in Escape, a love letter to a cult football classic by John Smith, published by Pitch. And I'm delighted to say John Smith joins us again. Good morning, John. How are you doing, matey?
Morning, Paul. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Now, congratulations on another brilliant book, a great read, this. I had no idea of the absolute kind of hoops that the various people had to jump through to even get this made. And what staggered me is I'd completely forgotten John Huston, one of my favourite film directors, who made The Man Who Will Be King with Michael Caine, who gave us Treasure Sierra Madre, The Maltese Falcon, directed it. He must have known nothing about football.
Not a lot, by all accounts. But as you say, I think probably having worked with Michael Caine before on A Man Who Would Be King, I think that was probably a bit of a draw for him. I think he had enough interest to know who Pelé was, and I think that maybe attracted him a little bit. Oddly, it's not his only dabble in a football film. He's in another film called A Minor Miracle that Pelé is also in a couple of years later. He's only acting in that. He's not directing it. But so he must have had a... He certainly doesn't seem to have known too much about it, but there must have been a little bit of interest there from him, certainly.
And as is well known here at TalkSport, although it features quite a number of Ipswich players as supporting members of the cast and, you know, on the pitch, of course, it doesn't feature our very own Alan Brazil, who kind of, I think, didn't quite get the notion or wasn't attracted to the idea of spending a few weeks in Eastern Europe.
Well, Alan would have had two bites at the cherry as well, because... famously, Ipswich Town are heavily involved in the film, and Bobby Robson was approached by the filmmakers to provide some extras, and so he would have had his chance then, because, you know, people like Russell Osman, John Walk, Kevin O'Callaghan, and three or four others all put their hand up and volunteered to go and spend 6 weeks in Hungary making this film. But then another group of players that was asked was the Scotland squad, because Scotland were on a sort of mini Eastern European tour. They'd played Poland and then they'd just played Hungary. And by Alan's account and Alex McLeish and Alan Ruff and a few others, the offer was extended to anybody in that Scotland squad who was interested. So Alan actually turned it down twice.
And what shines through in the book, I must say, is the kind of joy that Sir Michael Caine seems to bring to any film set he's on. And in one anecdote, he brings some booze along, does he not, for his fellow cast members?
He does. It's a lovely story, that. So it was a very, very sociable, film. And they, you know, evenings were spent carousing and drinking and out in restaurants, enjoying meals in each other's company. And there's one day when the Hungarian election is on, and it's decreed that, although there probably wasn't very much choice in a Hungarian election in 1980, it's nevertheless, it's decided that nationwide places are not allowed to sell alcohol, just to keep heads level. So to circumvent this, Michael Caine wears his finest combat trousers with as many pockets as he can muster, and every pocket's got a different spirit in it. And, he sort of manages to clink his way into the restaurant, get his legs under the table, and then pass the bottles around. And it's Mike Somerby's story, really. Mike Somerby tells it really well and says the waiters were kind of all standing around watching them slowly get drunk, baffled because they'd never sold them a drink.
Talking to John Smith, author of Escape, a love letter to a cult football classic. That, of course, is Escape to Victory. What I love about the book, John, is the way you've interwoven your personal memories of the of a film you've seen, obviously, dozens of times, and what it was like when it first came out, what football was like then, with an appraisal of the film and the making of the film. You talk as well in the book about, you know, the perfect cast and how Pelé and Bobby Moore are unbelievable gets for this film. Mm. And you talk a bit about, you know, who might be the equivalent today and whether you'd rather, you know, whether it was remade, God forbid, you know, whether it would be Ronaldo, Lionel Messi or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think what you can see is if they were to remake it, I think you can see that sort of top line star, the sort of Pelé equivalent. I think you can see a superstar taking part in this because it would be worth their while. What I can't see and what I talk about in the book is how you populate it with that, you know, I'm sure everybody else will admit, other than Pelé and Bobby Moore, that sort of next level down, who were all players in the prime of their career. Mm. And happily giving up their summer and for their clubs to happily let them spend the summer playing football on sort of in army boots on sandy pitches. I think it would probably be an insurance nightmare now, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And in fact, we've also got to consider, I suppose, the other big star of the film, not a football player, as in Sly Stallone, who was probably box office absolute number one at the time, really got on with Michael Caine, seems to have thrown himself into the role, but let's be honest, is an unlikely international goalkeeper, isn't he? Standing 4'11" tall and having more of the body shape of a Maradona than a normal goalie.
He definitely is, but I kind of feel like it suits the role because, I mean, the character Hatch is supposed to be kind of an enthusiastic amateur, you know what I mean? He's not supposed to be any good. It might be different if he were playing somebody who's supposed to be this brilliant goalkeeper, but he, you know, for reasons to help the escape is why he ends up in goal. And to sort of prepare for the part, he was quite happy to throw himself into it and literally throw himself around, and he sustained a fair few injuries doing it as well. So he was certainly game.
The other great actor in this, and again, it's surprising with the cast, is Max von Sydow, who people might know with Sly Stallone in the dreadful first version of Judge Dredd. But also, he made loads of art house films, like Ingmar Bergman, and he'd been The Seventh Seal and Silence and stuff. Suddenly, he pops up playing a German, although he's Swedish, a German for the first time in his career.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I found an interview with him, an on-set interview, in which he was saying sort of when he made that that crossover from the Ingmar Bergman films to Hollywood, obviously that was a time, you know, that was 60s and 70s and was a time when there were a lot of war films being made. And I think it would probably have been very easy for him to be typecast as a German officer, German soldier in any number of war films. And he says that there were always offers and he always resisted it and always knocked it back. And then Escape to Victory came along and it kind of piqued his interest, partly because of the football. He was a bit of a fan. The Scandinavian players said he was keen to spend a bit of time with them. And I think the football swung it for him and it piqued his interest. And, you know, I'm glad it did, because I think him and Michael Caine really, really ground the film a little bit.
Now, we focus, I suppose, in this country, understandably, on the likes of Ozzy Ardiles, on Bobby Morpelli, of course, as a global figure. Other great players involved are like Werner Roth, but also players were involved kind of on the coaching side of things, including, I think you say in the book, at least one Scottish goalkeeper.
So Alan Ruff does get a mention in the book because he would have been in that Scotland squad. So he would have got the chance to be involved when Alan Brazil would have turned it down for the second time and Alex McLeish. But Alan Ruff is one who turned it down, but he has since spoken about it. But his film connection to a different film and another great football film is that he was part of the Partick Thistle team that that coached Dee Hepburn for Gregory's Girl.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of then, yeah, Gregory's Girl as well, yes. Is it a film that plays well, do you know, in Germany?
Apparently not. I was speaking to a German friend recently, and she wasn't aware of it.
They are aware they're in the Second World War, are they, the Germans these days?
Yeah, so it didn't... all over Europe, yes. Germany, not so much.
Some great photographs in the book. Some very candid ones I've not seen before. There's a fantastic one of Michael Caine kind of perching in, like, the movie-style chair. And you've got Bobby Moore, Pelle, and I think Paul Cooper sitting around the sidelines. Where did you source these pictures from?
Literally just agencies. I mean, credit to the publishers, Pitch Publishing, there. They've got deals with a couple of the... two or three of the big agencies. And it was just a route around on there, really, to find good ones. I really like that one you're talking about, Michael Caine sort of relaxing with a cigar and wearing his big glasses in his football kit. That looks a bit incongruous. But the one I was most pleased to find was there's a shot from the film where they've filmed a scene that doesn't make it.
Oh yes, the escape of a cat called Jean Paul, and they're looking at the window. Yeah. And they don't know whether they actually the footage is lost, I suppose, for that, presumably.
I guess so. Yeah. So it's an odd thing that sort of came out of the book of the film that I read, and I do a chapter on in the book.
Oh yeah, when they turned it into a novel, didn't they? The novelization chapter.
Yeah,
the
novelization. Yeah, because there is a character in the film who just disappears. There's a French guy called the character called Jean Paul Remy, and he's played by a French actor called Benoît Farot. And he's there when the players arrive at the camp the first time. He arrives with Russell Osmond, Kevin O'Callaghan, Paul Van Himpst, and those guys. He trains, and then the last time we see him is boarding the train to go to Paris. They get to Paris, and he's not there, and he's not in the game, and he's never mentioned again.
So obviously some tabloid scandal back in the day. They got rid of him off the train.
I think they just thought better of it. I think at one point, that French character was a bigger part and a bigger role because in the early reports of the film going into production, Alain Delon is mentioned as somebody who's signed on for it. So I think at one point that French part was going to be much bigger. And Werner Roth said that was the part that, because he was approached to be in the film. He was, for people who don't know, he was the New York Cosmos captain at the time and a teammate of Pelé. So he was also approached by the American producers to be involved, and he initially fancied the part of this French guy. But he ends up doing, I think, a wonderful job as the real villain of the piece, as the German captain.
Yeah, and there's a wonderful bit in the book, a reminder of what a truly global star Pelé was, that when he goes out and about, there's somebody walking behind him with, like, I suppose, like a, you know, the old ice cream lady's tray, giving that Pelé memorabilia.
Yeah, I love it. I like to think it's one of those sort of push-along trolleys. but they said that he's like an instant superstar when he arrives in Budapest. Obviously, Hungary's very football-literate country and it's got its own sort of rich history. So, you know, rather than Sylvester Stallone and Michael Caine being the bigger stars there, it's Pelé and it's Bobby Moore. And Pelé's getting mobbed everywhere he goes. And he's, as you say, he's got an assistant walking behind him with an ice cream tray or an ice cream trolley full of... for the sort of cards to sign and memorabilia to give out to all the fans.
It's a lovely read. It's a great book. It's called Escape, A Love Letter to a Cult Football Classic, written by John Smith, published by Pitch. Trust me, somebody in your life wants this in their Christmas stocking come Christmas morning, probably you yourself. What's next for you, John, on this front? I think you've really tapped into something here. Your personal memories are so brilliantly interwoven with the behind-the-scenes story, the making of the film and an assessment of the film. Are you going to continue in this vein, do you think?
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for saying that. I'm kicking a couple of ideas around now. And they do both involve that, actually. There's one or two ideas that I haven't, you know, I'm going to give myself Christmas and then have a think about what I might choose to do next. But yeah, they both, I think, would have that same flavour where they would have a little bit of personal memory in there. People seem to like it.
Brilliant stuff there from our mate John Smith, author of Escape, A Love Letter to a Cult Football Classic, published by Pitch, out now, and it's our TalkSport and Talk Book of the Week here on The Overnight Show, TalkSport Extra Time with me, Paul Ross, Kane Reeves and the gang. We're live till 5.